Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and even things you could eat on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out our show later on Facebook, on blogtalkradio.com, or on my website, danschlossberg.net. Our special guest tonight is Nikki Chodnoff, editor of the Travel Savings Alert newsletter and a very frequent traveler. Welcome, Nikki, to the 301st episode of Travel Itch Radio.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here on such an auspicious occasion.
Okay, we're glad to have you, too. And let's get right to the news with Hurricane Florence all over the news this week. Tell us what you learned on your recent trip to Cape Hatteras, North Carolina.
Well, you know, sometimes timing is everything, and we just arrived on Hatteras Island at the wrong time. When we arrived, Hurricane Florence was still forming, so we were keeping tabs on the hurricane, watching the Weather Channel, and getting phone alerts. And as Hatteras Island is a sliver of land, you have one main road traveling north and south, and to travel west to get in and out of the island, there's only two routes. So Monday morning, it was a beautiful morning, and we were told to evacuate. It was a mandatory evacuation declared by the county, and that's how it's done in North Carolina, by the county. And they wanted to evacuate tourists first, then residents. We rented a house, and thankfully, the real estate company that we rented from was on top of it. We kept getting updates by email, and we also got text alerts when the order actually came by. So even the day that we left, that it was a Monday, and the weather was beautiful, and we were thinking to ourselves, why are we leaving? But you know, there were signs already then. At certain spots along the main road, the water was breaching the dunes and the waves were coming onto the main road. So as we were leaving, there was sand and water along the road, and there were excavators already taking the sand off. And that tied traffic up at several points. And then once we got onto the mainland, we saw a lot of gas stations being overrun by people trying to get gas. So the you know, signs were there early on, but it was a good decision that they made to evacuate everyone early.
Well, weather is a factor for all of us in travel journalism. We have to cope not only with heat, rain, snow, and wind, but occasionally volcanoes and earthquakes. I've been in three of those myself. Have you had other plans thwarted by weather or natural disasters in your travels? And if so, how have you handled them?
Well, yes. This is the second hurricane I've had to outrun. The other time was on a cruise ship that we were docked in Hamilton in Bermuda, and when the hurricane was impending, the cruise ship just had to pull out of port almost immediately, and we had a real rough day with kind of rough waves, but they got out of the way of the hurricane, found some sun, and we had a pleasant rest of the cruise. You know, weather for anybody can make travel dangerous and frustrating, and what happens in the worse the situation becomes weather-wise, the more you're dependent on others. So it's a good idea to know if something can happen at your destination, be it a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake, an ice storm. And if that worst-case scenario happens, have an idea of where to get information to keep you posted on if you have to leave and how to leave. So, and also heed the information. So if there is a mandatory evacuation, go. And, you know, don't try to ride things out. And if you're in the Midwest and there's a tornado, go to the shelter. You need to really play it safe and listen to what the experts are telling you in those situations.
And Nikki, speaking of tornadoes, you're based in Ohio, which is kind of tornado country. And have you always lived there? Is Cleveland or Cincinnati your main air gateway?
Well, actually, I haven't always lived in Ohio. I grew up and lived a good part of my life in Philadelphia and New Jersey. Currently, I fly out of John Glenn International Airport in Columbus, Ohio, but, you know, with the airlines, you know, situated the way they are, usually I'm traveling to a hub to get any place. Columbus isn't a hub, and to get out of Columbus, there's very few direct flights, so whether I'm flying on Delta, I'm going to Atlanta. If I'm flying on United, I'm going to Chicago. So I kind of follow the hubs.
Makes sense. How often, Nikki, are you on the road, and do you prefer domestic or international destinations?
Well, I no longer travel as frequently as I did. There was a time where I was traveling, you know, a couple of times a month, and it gets to be very hard on you, Ed. Too much of a good thing can be exhausting. And a lot of my travel changed along with my personal circumstances and as technology changed. I find that I don't have to travel as often now to where I can be online and get information online beforehand. And when I do travel, that can tend to be shorter. So my travel patterns have changed. And the circumstances of my life changed so that even though I can travel shorter, I'm at the point in my life where I'm able to travel for longer portions at a time. So it's now possible for me to go 3 or 4 weeks at a time, and that makes international destinations more accessible. Before that, if okay. I would go, I would try not to go, say, to the Orient because the flights are just so long, it's hard to do a week there.
That's for sure. Nikki, do you travel on your own, or do you join press trips, or a little of both?
It's a combination of both. Trips to me are really handy, specifically when time is an issue, because the people that run them, you know, have all the knowledge about what you need and what you're looking for, and can kind of hone in it on it for you and with you. But when I have the luxury of time, I would prefer to travel and explore on my own.
Okay, we're talking with Nikki Chodnoff, editor of Travel Savings Alerts. Tell our listeners about on-the-go travel, Nikki, when it started and what it does.
Well, excuse me. I've been publishing on-the-go travel for a long, well, actually, on-the-go is the overview company. It's on-the-go publishing, and the newsletter is Travel Savings Alerts. I actually started with Travel Savings Alerts, and that was in when there was no internet and there was no email. It was a hard copy newsletter that was by paid subscription, and it was mailed out through the post office every month. So that kind of takes you back to how long ago that was. And, you know, as
yes.
times change, you have to change with publishing, and we went electronic. And we added a website along the way because there was no website initially. We created On The Go Publishing, and that's just a resource for people to help them with planning and making travel easier, putting a lot of resources and information at their fingertips. The internet is wonderful as a source of information, and we try to compile a lot of it in one place so people don't have to go jumping from here to there to get what they're looking for. And
well, everybody, maybe this next question will help with your answer here. Everybody wants bargains mm-hmm. in airfares, accommodations, and attractions. So tell us how they can find them in your newsletter.
Well, the newsletter is published monthly. If anybody would like to sign up for a subscription, they just need to go to the main page on thegopublishing.com, and it'll lead them to where there's a sign-up page. Once you do that, you have to acknowledge and agree to that, that you're a real life human being and you're signing up for it. And then each month you'll receive the newsletter. And what I try to do is I try to make it so that there's the most current things that are being offered, be it by cruise lines, airlines, destinations, hotels, resorts, and that's the prime focus. Every issue has 20 points of information. The bulk of it are the deals and discounts that are current. Additionally, in those 20 points of information, an issue can include useful information and advice, and sometimes a destination feature. So it all depends on what I'm, where I'm going and what I'm doing and what information I run across. What's included depends on what's being offered by the travel providers. So every month is different, but the core of it are the deals and discounts that make the bulk of each newsletter.
Where do you find your information, Nikki?
Well, a lot of the information comes to me by way of the travel companies. I'm a known entity, and when they have discounts going or being offered, they will let me know by way of a news release. And other times, I just find things myself on the web. So it's a combination of me digging and having some information sent to me regularly.
Is some of the information published in Travel Savings Alerts exclusive to you?
Sometimes it can be. Generally, what I try to do is get the information that may not be exclusive, but it may not be distributed as widely as other information. So it may seem like it's new and not known about by many people. That's one of the comments
okay.
I get a lot, that people seem to think that all these, you know, deals and discounts are you know, specific to me, and they're really not. But they're just a little harder to track down, and I try a little harder than most.
Okay, with the year winding down and people planning for the holidays and beyond, what do you think will be the most significant travel trends for 2019?
Well, I think it's a continuation of what was happening in 2018 and even the past couple of years. Experience travel is really where a lot of people are going towards. It's sometimes referred to as adventure travel, and that just keeps growing by leaps and bounds. I think people are at the point where they want to be involved in what they're doing. So if they're going someplace, they'll look for things to do, such as food tours or actually touring by bicycle or panning for gold or digging for diamonds or heli-skiing. It makes them a part of the tour and a part of the adventure rather than being an observer. So that's really the kind of the largest segment of where travel is going. And tour operators base the activities that they're offering sometimes on age and skill level. So, I mean, if you're going to do a tour by bicycle, they'll let you know whether it's at a level that you can handle so you don't have any unpleasant surprises at the end. And solo travel is another segment that's growing a lot. People are just kind of taking off on their own, and if they have a place that they really want to see, they don't necessarily need to wait for either friends, relatives, or significant others to go if they're not interested in what they want to see. So that's a growing portion, and you'll see a lot of hotels and cruise lines now are offering options where they're not charging a single supplement. But that was sort of a big restriction for a lot of people, that if you traveled by yourself, you had to pay nearly twice as much for one person. and it would almost amount to the cost of two people traveling.
Okay, I want to tell our listeners we're listening to Travel It's Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel It's Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. And our guest tonight is Nikki Chodnoff, editor of Travel Savings Alerts. Nikki, you spent 7 years as the host of a travel radio show on the National Public Radio Station in Columbus. Was it a weekly show, and did it include interview guests?
Yes, it was a weekly show. It was an hour and a half long, and it was broadcast live. And the biggest component of the show and what we had every week as a standard were people calling in with their travel questions. And that seemed like a terrific resource for our listeners because everybody likes to know beforehand and kind of doesn't want to be taken by surprise about different portions of a trip or different aspects of travel. So we were a good source of information for people. And sometimes some of our listeners were experts in the areas that we may be talking about. And then they even called in and contributed. So we almost had a round table of experts advising people. Also, there were some guests. A lot of times people who had written books would come on and have maybe like a 10 or 15 minute segment on the show, you know, telling about their books and letting our listeners know, you know, how to get their books and also what was kind of the core and the essence of their book. So it gave our listeners a good way to know whether that's the book that they wanted to buy and kind of fine-tune, you know, what their product was. And lastly, when I was traveling, a number of times I would actually call in and do a live remote from the destination that I was traveling in. So wherever I was, and if it happened to coincide on the night of the radio program, I would call in, and one of my most memorable interviews and call-ins was from a ship at sea. We were sailing on one of the celebrity cruise ships, and the reception, because we had to go by satellite phone, for some reason seemed to be the best in the bathroom in my cabin. So I was in the bathroom with the president of the cruise line broadcasting live back to Columbus.
That's a great story.
Yes.
We had Yakov Smirnoff on one of our shows last year, and he was calling us from a cruise ship as well, and the lifeboat drill occurred during the show. That was kind of interesting.
Oh, geez. That must have been really funny.
Yako was great. Anyway, Nikki, how do you juggle time between work, play, and family?
Well, it's always a juggle. I was fortunate enough that when I started traveling for travel writing, my kids were somewhat older. They were in middle school and high school. And when I was gone, my husband, you know, kind of picked up the slack and held down the fort. I was very fortunate in his support. And then as time went by and our kids were older and they were able to take care of themselves, my husband was able to go with me on quite a few trips, which was really good. And it's always, you know, a fine-tuning between how much time you want to put into traveling because it's a big time gobbler. And then depending on who you're writing for and what sort of deadlines you have to make sure that where you're going gives you enough time to, you know, process what you saw and write an article about it or write a script, you know, or whatever you're doing, you know, with that information and creating travel content with it.
Okay. Do you belong to any groups such as North American Travel Journalists Association or Society of American Travel Writers?
Yes. Except for a couple of years hiatus, I've been a member of the Society of American Travel Writers, which we commonly call SATW, for more than 25 years.
Oh, very nice, very nice. A very prestigious group, listeners, for those of you who don't know. Nikki, the world is a big place. How much of it have you covered?
Well, I've traveled to nearly every continent, but, you know, there is always more to see. I was fortunate enough to many times go to a destination repeatedly, too, which I like to do because you just can't see everything in that one first shot. And then when you go back a second time, you're able to experience the things you didn't have the first time to see, and then kind of digest the place a little better, see it again, kind of with different eyes than the first time, because, you know, everything is new the first time. The second time there starts creating a level of familiarity. So I just think it's great to travel. I think that if you're doing this, you have to love to travel, because otherwise it would be a difficult job to do, because everybody thinks of the travel part, but very few people see the part where you're sitting at your laptop and thinking, and sometimes that article just isn't coming and the juices aren't flowing. So you have to really like what you're doing to be able to continue to do it and to produce things that are interesting for people to read and listen to.
Nikki, what's on top of your bucket list? Where have you not gone that you would like to go?
I do have a couple of things that, due to schedule conflicts and other things that happen in life, Antarctica is on the top of my list. And the second thing I'd like to do is go to a safari.
Oh, you've never done that. Okay.
No, I've not.
You pick the hot and the cold of things.
Yes, exactly. And I had sworn years ago that I would not go to cold again, because at one time I was writing an article for a travel agent magazine about honeymoons in the North Woods, and I was in the Boundary Waters in Minnesota, and I've never been so cold in my life. The warmest it ever got to was minus 20 degrees, and I had on every single article of clothing that I bought with me, and I was still cold.
I understand that, because I went to college at Syracuse University, and we called that Miami of the North, but sort of disparagingly. Nikki, we all complain about the hassles of air travel, from security to service. In your opinion, what are the best and the worst airlines?
Well, I don't know that there's one airline that's going to be getting the title of best or worst. I think that there's not much difference between U.S. carriers. And I think your view of an airline is shaped, and you come away with it thinking whether it's the best or the worst based on the experience you have and the airline personnel you come in contact with. If you have a gate agent that helps you, or a flight attendant that, you know, does something to make your flight more comfortable, you're going to have a positive opinion about that airline. But people are people. If you get a gate agent that's just rude and just isn't doing their job and isn't, you know, helpful, you're going to come away not liking that airline. So it's a very subjective thing, and I think it can change from flight to flight, because your experience will be so characterized by the people that you meet with in that airline. Generalizing as a group, I think the Asian international carriers always are ranked very high as to service. You know, carriers such as Singapore Air, Cathay Pacific, and ANA just have a higher standard of service that I can tell as compared to the U.S. carriers. And that's just my personal opinion.
Well, that's because they're serving those crazy rich Asians. like the movie.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, just a few minutes left. Do you have places you would never go back to?
I actually don't. I think that I've never really had any traumatizing experience that would keep me from a place. Now, a few years ago, I went to Salzburg, Austria, and I found the people there very rude. But I would go back again and give the place another chance because, you know, that was one moment in time, and chances are that I won't meet up with those rude people and you know, let myself have another shot at another opinion of the place. So generally, I will go back.
Well, a related question. As an American and a woman, have you ever had problems overseas with language, money, customs, or even overly flirtatious men?
Well, I try to be prepared when I go overseas. I do a little research beforehand. I try to learn a few phrases and maybe some customs. So I sort of blend in and don't stand out and don't become that ugly American. When I'm shopping or buying something, I try to use credit cards as much as I can if I need to buy something. If I need some local cash, I'll go to a bank or a currency exchange and just exchange, you know, however much I need. I don't do it at the airport. I do it once I'm in the destination. I rarely travel alone, and I find that if you are in a group, those overly flirtatious men usually don't try to seek you out. They're kind of put back by, you know, people surrounding you.
Okay, very well said. Unfortunately, we are out of time, so I want to thank you very much, Nikki Chodnoff, editor of Travel Savings Alert Newsletter, for being our guest tonight on Travel It Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure being your guest, and I'm thrilled that I happened to be your guest on your 301st show.
Thank you so much, Nikki. And now, listeners, before we sign off, I'd like to remind you that it's not too early to start thinking about holiday gifts. For baseball fans in our audience, the best gift would be a copy of the New Baseball Bible, a 424-page oversized paperback that is the most unusual baseball book ever published, packed with artwork, photos, and sidebars never printed anywhere else. This book looks like the Old Farmer's Almanac with a baseball motif. Ask for the New Baseball Bible at your bookseller or order online at Amazon.com. And that's it for this edition of Travel It's Radio. Next week on Travel It's, we'll be talking with Steve Solosky, the traveling professor. To comment on our show or to get booked on Travel It's Radio, email me at ballauthor@gmail.com. That's ballauthor, all one word, because I write baseball books, ballauthor@gmail.com. Or tweet me at Braves1, B-R-A-V-E-S, numeral 1. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.